Well, hello and welcome to Voices of Courage. I'm your host, Kendi Foster, and today we're stepping into a conversation that challenges one of the most dominant paradigms of our time. Breaking free from the medical matrix, awakening your mind's natural power to heal. For decades, we've been taught to look outside of ourselves for answers, prescriptions, diagnosis, labels. And while modern medicine has its place, there's a deeper question that we must ask. What if the human being was never broken to begin with? What if what we've been calling medical illness is, in many cases, a signal, a message, a call to reconnect with something deeper within us? You see, true transformation doesn't come from suppressing symptoms. It comes from understanding them, from listening, from reconnecting to the intelligence of the mind, the body, and the spirit. Today's conversation is not about rejecting medicine. It's about expanding awareness, reclaiming your voice, and remembering the innate power that lives within you. So it's going to take a little courage to step into some of the things we're talking about, because an open mind is a mind that can learn, that can grow. So if you feel yourself feeling a little resistance to some of the principles that we're talking about today, just notice it. Notice that that's just old programming sitting within your paradigm, and that you're open to receive something new today. This information honestly has the power to completely change the way that you look at life, to change the way that you heal yourself, heal your body, heal your mind, heal your soul, and help you and your family shift the paradigms of disinformation that's been inside so many of us for so long. So, it's kind of about facing yourself and choosing truth over comfort, consciousness over comfort. All right, let's begin. I got an introduction. I've got a very great guest that's going to be here in just a second. I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, he will be here. Welcome back, everybody. This is Kendi Foster, and my very special guest is Dr. Fred Moss. Dr. Fred, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here, Ken. I'm really looking forward to our conversation, and of course, it's great to see you again.
It's great to see you, too, and it's going to be my better conversations of the year. I've had so many great ones, but I know you, and I know the depth of your wisdom. So some of you don't know Dr. Fred Moss. Today, he is a board-certified psychiatrist with over four decades of experience and a man who has courageously challenged the very system he was trained in. Dr. Fred Moss is a holistic transformational coach, author, speaker, and creator of Welcome to Humanity Movement. Having worked with over 30,000 patients across hospitals, correctional facilities, and private practice, he is firsthand a knowledge of breaking limitations and firsthand knowledge of what traditional medical modalities have maybe laid on people in a not so great way sometimes. Today, he is known as the Undoctor, a voice calling us back to authentic human connection, self-expression, and the belief that we are not broken, just unheard. Dr. Moss brings a rare combination of clinical experience, lived experience, and deep compassion to every conversation. He's also an author of two books, got a new one coming out. We'll be talking about that too. All right, man, you've been doing this a long time. Where are we now in society? Let's go. I mean, I look out there, there's a lot of chaos, and most importantly, I look at my fellow travelers on the planet, and so many are suffering mentally, emotionally, physically, some spiritually. Yeah. What do you think's happening out there?
Well, there is a lot of suffering, Ken. You're right. And, there's always been a lot of suffering. Let's not fool ourselves. There is no time in history where there was someone who wrote, finally, we're in a place where it's not suffering. So suffering at the various highest level of whatever society can tolerate has been the baseline that humans have lived with since the beginning of time. We like to think that we're suffering more than ever. And in fact, we kind of are. But if you really look back at some of the old times, if we would trade what we have now for then, we would choose not to do so. there are times when suffering was much more profound. So what's happening? Well, you know, we don't blame a log for burning in a fire, right? Like we have a fire and we put a log in and that's what it does. It dissolves, it disintegrates. And it, you know, it is rustled by the fire. It actually gets changed. And that's what's happening here. We have a fire. We have a huge bonfire going on called living on planet Earth, the human condition. So inside of that condition and going all the way back to the sages and, you know, the wise philosophers of the past, everyone's always spoken as to how to deal with whatever's going on. Like, there wasn't always Prozac or Seroquel back in the day. You know, it isn't what Marcus Aurelius had to work with. It's not who Buddha did not refer you to a psychiatrist. And there was something about what's really here is to acknowledge, to learn, to be with, to unite, to resonate, to communicate, to connect. These are the kind of things from which growth and development becomes available. And one of the things that we are talking about is stabilizing ourselves from within, because we have learned how to be somebody that we're not in order to protect the person that we are. As ludicrous and as preposterous, and frankly, as absurd as that is, that's what we've all been programmed to do, to present ourselves a little bit differently than who we really are, to not acknowledge our vulnerable core selves, as a way of protecting that core self. It doesn't work, by the way. It's just what we've taken on. So one of the things we have to really do is come in touch with our core selves, because that's who we're presenting to another when we're connecting harmonically.
And that is so important right now, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're treating symptoms, right? You know, I have social anxiety, or I have, I can't sleep at night, or I'm overeating.
I'm on the spectrum. That's the newest one, Ken. I'm on the spectrum.
Okay. Yeah, good. but we're treating symptoms instead of listening to the message. But how do we listen to the message if we don't know who the heck we are, if we're pretending like we're something else?
Yeah, it really is hard to hear the message. And one of the spaces that I find, and I know you're a big fan of this as well, is that in the world of sitting still, in the world of sitting silent, in the world of pausing, in the world of holding, we get to be ourselves at that moment. It's so profound, and yet possibly the easiest things that humans can do, ultimately. There's zero effort by definition. All we really do is sit still and silent. And in that process, we learn that we are not the things. We are not our circumstances. We are not our sensations. We are not our emotions. We are not our thoughts. We carry those things, but we don't have to be absorbed by those things. And then from that space of a center home base, we can start seeing and hearing what a message is, because we have a core center.
I tell my audience all the time, stillness is the price of greatness. Okay. Stillness, just get quiet. And you don't have to be great. Stillness is also the price of peace and love and joy in our lives. So that's what we're talking about. But you know, it's so hard for, they resist. I tell people all the time, people go, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's good for you. Yeah.
It's like, wow, you know, I think we've got this thing going on. Okay. So, you know, of course there's a lot of distraction, and we're programmed for distraction now. I mean, you got an iPhone and all of social media, which is really, they've engineered distraction in our life. They've just engineered it.
Yeah, billions of dollars and millions of man hours went into that engineering. Let's make sure we realize this has been absolutely intentional and absolutely like propagated with a vision. And billions of dollars, millions of hours went into it.
Yeah, that's right. And here's the other thing. In the mental health field, all right, so I want to go down that path a little bit. There is a myth of us being broken. We're broken people.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Broken nation. We're a broken, we're just a broken people. Can we just dispel that myth once and for all?
I hope so. Gosh, Ken. You know, I a lot of times at podcasts, people ask me, you know, at the end of the session, there's that, if you had to say one thing to the world, what would you say? And what I'd say is that maybe, just maybe, there's nothing wrong with you. at all. And when we really start looking at that, you know, we really start looking at maybe you were never broken in the first place. It sort of ends the myth, if you will, of mental illness. It sort of ends, you know, the idea that being uncomfortable means there's something wrong with you. Because that equation is what got created in the 80s. That's the equation that created in the Prozac generation. That if you're uncomfortable, that equates to something being wrong with you. No way. That's not true at all. Discomfort is a critical, central piece of the human condition. And going back through the history of time, literally there has been nobody ever who lived on the planet who doesn't know that, who hasn't had, let's put it this way, they may have not acknowledged that it's the part of the condition, but who hasn't felt some degree of pain, suffering, misery. And with that, we start seeing that since it's so central, it can't represent a pathology. Otherwise, it would mean that 8 billion people have that pathology, because everybody on the planet is feeling it at some level. And when we get that it's a central piece of being normal, we don't have to call it broken.
Here's the challenge for so many. They feel uncomfortable and they go shop. They feel uncomfortable, they go eat. They feel uncomfortable, you know, and they go drug. They drink. They feel uncomfortable, they get angry. I mean, but we're not broken. So how do we, it's like, okay, if we're not broken, where did we disconnect? Because like you just said, discomfort is a natural feeling that we need to pay attention to, because there's a message in that feeling. There's something there for us.
Well, thank you for saying all that. And really what we have is we have been programmed to believe that we can actually ameliorate or mitigate that discomfort by looking outside of ourselves. That somehow there's going to be something out there that fills the void or connects the fracture or creates the bridge between our discomfort and ultimate comfort. You see, if you do buy a Rolex, Ken, you will be more comfortable for how long did it take you with your Rolex, sir?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I felt superior to so many people with my Rolex for so long. I don't know. I don't know. It went away, you know?
That's really how it goes. You get that new car, you get the smell of leather, you get that new, you go to the nice restaurant, or you take a good drug, or you drink some tequila, or you chase down pornography, or whatever you do. And then there's some that are sanctioned. For instance, we go to the doctor. Like, if there's something wrong with you, what are you supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to go to the doctor. So the algorithm is started when we begin to believe that there's something wrong with us. And what do you do when there's something wrong with you? Well, is there something wrong with you? Have you gone to the doctor? Not yet. Okay, well, you should probably go. And then you show up at the doctor. And look, these guys are my friends. They're my homies. I don't have a problem with the doctors. You understand what I'm saying? They're my guides. I love to spend nights with them. They could take care of my kids. They're great. It's no problem. It's not like the doctors are the problem. If you really start looking at it, the cascade starts with them. They're very well trained. Very well trained. And they will gladly submit to the idea that there's something wrong with you. And in fact, Ken, one of the absurdities here is you can't walk out of a doctor's office without a diagnosis. You can't. If you're having a third party,
didn't they kind of patent that or whatever? I mean, if you're a healthcare practitioner, you can't diagnose.
Okay. Well, it's interesting. You have to, because on the insurance form at the top, you got the ICD-9 code that you need to recognize, and in that process, you are diagnosing your client.
Okay.
Right. So
it's a diagnosis. Even you're broken. I'm gonna diagnose what's wrong with you, and once I get the diagnosis, then I can prescribe what I think you need.
Not what I think you need, What they told me they I should think you need.
That's even more important. So who's they that told them that you... Yeah.
There is an industry here that is fantastic. It's possibly the best design industry in the history of planet Earth. There is no industry that you can name or that I can name that I have ever discovered that has a broader profit margin than than the present pharmacological industry. Cyclopharm is the lead agent of all of them. And there's never been a company ever to experience billions of dollars per day in profit margin. Now, margin. Now, when you start thinking about this, it's not their fault either. They have an industry. If me and you would have designed that industry, that would have been freaking amazing.
Yeah, of course. Listen, if I'm selling boats, I'm going to go out. I'm going to try to convince you to buy my boat.
100%. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's free enterprise. So people like to blame Big Pharma. The system is bad. Oh, I tried to call Big Pharma the other day.
Yeah.
No phone number.
Phone number. Dang.
I know.
Yeah. Well, okay. So wait. If I can't blame Big Pharma and I can't blame the government, because the government's allowing all this, and the government,
sure, so, of course,
he's got my prescription drug price down. You know, if I can't blame them, then what do I do? You know,
well,
it's kind of obvious, but you know,
yeah. I again, the idea isn't that there's blame, and really, what we start looking for is it's not the industry, it's not the doctors, it's not the insurance companies, it's not the government, it's not any of those things. They're just there. We don't scream at the rat poison industry.
Oh, some people do.
Yeah. I suppose some rats do, I imagine. And maybe they don't. Maybe they've been hypnotized into believing that rat poison is good for them too. That's a whole different story. So here's the thing. In 2006, Ken, I did something that at the time somehow was seen as radical. I personally didn't see it as radical. I saw it as next obvious step. I had a couple thousand people in my private practice, and I started taking them off of their medications. Now, you know, when I started taking them off the medications, we started discussing, like, you know, I saw that they were doing what they were doing. They were kind of chill, but they weren't as good as I thought they could be. So we took the low-risk patients off the medicine. And really, to a person, each and every one of them got better, way better, profoundly better, such to the point that they often lost the diagnosis they thought they had that they were taking the medicine for in the first place. So I really wanted to get this message out to the world. Like when I started realizing, wow, I've done this to 100 people and all 100 got better. What am I supposed to do with this crazy nonsense? That the treatment is actually causing the symptoms it's marketed to deal with? What am I supposed to do? What a great business plan, right? From a business perspective? Whoa.
Give him the medication. The medication exacerbates the symptoms.
It's wow. Just beautiful.
Keep them sick. That's interesting. Keep them thinking they're broken.
Exactly. Exactly. So you start realizing that what tripped you into the system now creates the actual mockery of the symptoms you had when you came in, but you think it's you that's persisting through the treatment. Like somehow you have a permanent, you in fact are picking up a permanent condition as long as you stay in the system. Now there really is something wrong with you. We're actually feeding you something to make sure there's something wrong with you. So when we start looking at that, you know, we start looking at, well, it's absurd. And it's anger. It's infuriating. It can be infuriating. You could feel cheated and deceived and duped and all of that, right? And at the time, that's what I had. I wanted to run to the mountaintops and just scream this from the top of the mountaintops to the moms, to the partners, to the children, to the adults, to the teachers. Like, hey, to doctors, hey, we can't do this anymore.
But listen, I got to take a break.
Sure.
When we get back, I want you to take a dive into the core healing mechanisms that we can apply to actually empower ourselves to take our bodies, our minds, our souls to the next level. So I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. It's so good to have you here today. Listen, I'll be right back with my guest, Dr. Fred Moss, in just a moment. What I'd like to encourage you to do right now, if you are on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe to our shows so that you will not miss any shows and you can pass these shows on to family and friends and people that you care about. If you're not on YouTube, just go to, for my listening audience, youtube.com/ the @ at the Courage Network, youtube.com at the Courage Network. All right, back to my guest, Dr. Fred Moss. Okay, core healing mechanisms that we can use outside of some of the traditional medical.
Right. So there are many. Again, the object here is to be able to orient ourselves to in the world of realizing that there was nothing wrong with us in the first place. And if you're uncomfortable, if you're miserable, if you're in pain, if you're confused, if you're distracted, welcome to humanity. So when we start talking about this, that discomfort is as key a part of life as comfort is, even though it's not nearly as desirable, I understand that, and that it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. Then we start looking at, well, how can I feel better? How can I actually optimize my life? Our opportunity here is to feel better minute by minute. Whatever we're experiencing, isn't it our goal to feel better in the next minute? Ultimately, that's what we're looking to do. We're looking to feel better. And how are we going to do that? What are some of the ways that we can identify that? In most cases, by the way, this isn't me passing information on to anybody. This is me reminding all the people out here of what they already knew. So let's make sure you get that I'm not pretending to know this stuff or be a guru or have something that others don't. I'm just taking on a recall, a memory, a reality, a foundation of what it means to be alive. One of the spaces, and you know I just love this, the only space that I've ever seen that this is its own league, you know, and when you talk about GOAT, like greatest of all time, it's like, this is it, is human connection. What we want more than anything is to be seen and heard for who we are and who we're not. And all of us want that. And we can do that with others as well. So in the world of connecting with another human, actually resonating, actually getting out of their way, out of your own way, to see, learn, and listen to somebody else and be curious about what their experience is, we provide a healing not only for them, but for us. So us healers, we think that we're exempt from being a human, that somehow we help humans become humans from our superhuman position. Sometimes we think that. When in fact, all we are is another human bumbling, stumbling, and tumbling through the world. And when we get that we can connect with each other, and in that process is the heart of all healing, of all conditions, of all types everywhere, then an explosion of healing takes place in the space. And in that process, we learn that the greatest gift or the greatest medicine of all time is being connected. When we're disconnected, it causes intense and real pain. When we're connected, this is where God is. This is where love is. This is where all those things that we can't define exist inside of this connection. Sometimes when we connect with somebody so well, we actually say that we love them, and then maybe we marry them or whatever. We actually choose to be with them as often as possible because there's immense healing in being connected. So that would be one core space, is to be connected. But backing up from that, and we touched on this, go ahead. Do you have something there?
Well, yeah, I have one piece on that. So when we're connected, and I'm believing connected to ourselves, connected to nature, connected to others, there's a sense of this, what we would call maybe coherence. And when we're in coherence, it feels like, another name for coherence in my world is almost love. But it's this space where we like you just said, we have to connect, right? My question would be, how do we get to coherence? Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. And I, I appreciate that segue. And really what we're talking about here is that in order to connect with anything or anyone, so some people say, I'm not connecting with other people, I'm connecting with nature. I'm not connecting with other people, I'm connecting with God. I'm not connecting with other people, I'm connecting with, my spirit. Those are all forms of connection. And how do we get there? Really, what the story is, like, how do we have the courage to become connected, is we have to back up out of that area of the things that we learn to protect ourselves, you know, the things that we learn to pretend to be in order to protect ourselves. We have to be able to step behind that into this delicate, tender, often, you know, innately disturbing self that we have, so that who we're connecting with and in our efforts to connect, we're resonating closer to that human frequency. So let's say the human frequency is 420 megahertz. If that's the case, probably like a tuning fork, if I have mud and muck and cobwebs and rust on my tuning fork, it's not going to tune at the same level as a pure tuning fork over there. There is a pure human frequency that we can get to, or that we can at least pursue. And the way that we do that is by cleaning off the self, the parts of ourselves that really aren't ourselves. We start saying things that we've never said. We start, and I saw that in your introduction, that's something you're about as well. Or we start doing or being things that are more aligned with our core self than we ever have been, or more honest, or more genuine, or more authentic. And in that process, we begin to approach a little bit closer to that pure human condition experience. That is required. Otherwise, what we're going to bring is a muddled connection, because we're muddled to begin with. And if we clean that off, so the muddled connection will draw in other muddled connections. And if we clean off the muddling, if we get closer and closer to being genuine, authentic, and true to ourselves, that's when we get to create that. Now, that's when we leave ourselves vulnerable or available for human connection.
Yeah, that's really good. Human connection sometimes is messy. It's not fun. Yeah. I know some people, like I said earlier in the show, you might have some, which now has been labeled social anxiety. When I woke up in 1992, I heard this little voice that said, you got to feel the pain to make the change. Well, of course, I didn't want to feel any pain. I was chasing pleasure at the time, which wasn't working. But my question to you is that, how do we use emotional pain as a gateway for transformation? Mm. And I got to take a break. When we come right back, I'd like you to be able to address that. If you would be so kind, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage, or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm with Dr. Fred Moss. If you just joined us, Dr. Moss is a board-certified psychiatrist with over 4 decades of experience and a man who has courageously challenged many systems that he was trained in. That's an important question, I think. You know, how do we transfer? You know, a lot of people, like, we start out with pain and suffering stuff. Everybody has that. It's a natural part of life. But how do we transform that pain and suffering into something that's helps us? Grows us.
One has to learn experientially that it even can be done. You see, the default is actually to absorb into the misery, to be absorbed by the misery and call it us. We are miserable. I am miserable. And not realize, believe it or not, there's a little bit of choice. There's a little bit of capacity to actually look at experiences and not feel like you have become miserable. Even in terrible situations, heinous, like, you know, in barbaric situations, in intolerable, unspeakable circumstances, becoming the pain is actually a choice. How do I know that? Because when we sit still, when we sit silent, when we pause, we get to realize that that thing in the center is impenetrable. That isn't pain. That's just the one who's experiencing pain. And when we start realizing that what's really here is the capacity to separate ourselves from our experiences, that's when we start realizing that the emotional pain can, in some, you know, I've read recently this, and I think, I really think you're one of my, you're one of my role models in this area, is embracing the pain as a possibility. Like actually welcoming the pain, like, oh my God, there's pain. This is my next teacher. This is my next indicator of the direction I'm going. Thank you so much. Again, it's not like I'm wishing pain on myself or acting like I'm a martyr or I hate pain, man. You're not talking to a guy who's looking forward.
Hey, we're not talking that. We're just talking about, hey, you know, life shows up. You know, somebody says something to you don't like, okay? Creates a, you know, something inside. It's that place where you go, okay, what's up here?
Exactly.
What's up here? That's what I'm getting here, Tommy.
Exactly. I'm not wishing pain on anyone. There's nothing like that. There's this idea, though, that when pain comes, it's a massive indicator. So we're uncomfortable. You know, how can we treat that? We can treat that once we realize that it's available to us and semi or significantly adjustable. Then we start realizing that if we have the choice to be in pain or not, then we have the choice to do anything or not. We can actually transform the way we look at life. If we can transform this, then we can choose, as the authors of our life, what it is that we're now going to believe about life.
One of the challenges I think people face with this, Dr. Fred, is that they get stuck in an identity. Mm-hmm. They get stuck with, like I said, I've got social anxiety. I'm a failure. I'm sick. I'm
depressed, anxious.
Depressed, anxious, whatever. Yeah.
Distracted. Yeah.
So it becomes an identity that somebody either told them this is who you are because they got a diagnosis, or they somehow decided that this is who they're going to be. How, you know, because that one piece, when we start to identify with our struggles as part of who we are, how do we let go of that, man? How have you helped people?
Getting a diagnosis is very seductive. You know, if I can blame you for the mistakes I've already made today, I'm in. In fact, it is your fault. All the junk I've done already this morning to make a mess of myself, I'm going to blame you. Or I'm going to blame some alphabet soup diagnosis that a doctor gave me. You see, once I start believing that if I can learn what's wrong with me, then I can join the club of people who have symptoms that are like mine, and I can feel like I'm part of a crew. I'm part of a team. Okay, so I come in and I'm like, doctor, doctor, there's, you know, psychiatry is the only subspecialty that I know of that if you tell somebody they're normal, they get pissed. They get so pissed. Because they it's like, why did I come see you? It's like, they're not coming to find out if there's something wrong with them, Ken. Yeah. You're coming to find out what's wrong with them. Yeah. And
and there's a flip side to that, too. A lot of people won't go to the psychiatrist because they know they've been there and they've been told things are wrong about them. They're like, I'm not going to go there for some reason. I'm not doing that again. Right? This is kind of a two-way story here.
It is a two-way story. You know, people come in and once they get that, you know, I have a story of, you know, if, you know, if you sent me a friend of yours or no, I'd say you come to me and you tell me you have a mosquito bite on your elbow. And I tell you, I got somebody down in La Jolla is just like the best. And it's his expert. And you're like, okay, I'm going to go see him. I'm like, yeah, tell him I sent you. And you walk in and there's a guy there, you know, he's got his like shades down. He's wearing a white jacket with an embroidered name and a stethoscope around his neck. And he's got his artwork up and he's got his certificates and his diplomas. And he got a very beautiful receptionist with a sliding glass door and a couple offices with some couches. You know the dude.
I know him. Yeah.
Okay. You know him. You know him. Like he's your gay. We both know that guy. And you walk in, you're like, Dr. Fred sent me. Oh, yeah. Come on in. Let's take a look. Sits you down and takes out his magnifying glass, tells you to pull up your sleeve, and you show him here. And he says, oh, I've been doing this a long time. What you got there is a mosquito bite on your elbow. You're like, doc, that's great. Exactly. That's why I'm here. I need some help. I hear you're good at this. 100%. He goes, I am 100% successful. 100% success rate. No wonder Dr. Fred sent me here. Let's go. And he says the perfect doctor words, well, it's only going to hurt for a minute. You're like, rock and roll, I can handle that. Everyone else here has handled it. Let's go. And he takes out a saw and cuts off your arm at the shoulder. And says, come back in 2 weeks. We'll take a look.
Great analogy.
So you come back in 2 weeks. There's no mosquito bite. You got 100% success rate, man. What happened there? You didn't just lose your mosquito bite. You lost an arm. But if you stay myopic long enough that there's something wrong with you, and all you're looking for is whether or not a mosquito bite is there, you won't even notice the collateral damage that was done.
What, let me ask you this. What happens with somebody that's been in the system for a while, okay? You know, they went in, they had a backache, and, you know, and then they got the pills for the backache, you know, and then they back got a little worse. So the doctor said, well, you know, we better take x-rays, okay? So now we take x-rays, and, oh, yeah, this one looks a little off. I think let's recommend a little surgery for disc one or maybe disc two. So we'll get a little surgery, and now we go in the surgery. Gosh darn, the surgery didn't work. I still got pain. Darn. And, you know, well, here's some more pills. Well, you know, maybe try some alcohol with it too, with the pill. I don't know. You know, and then we go down this model, okay? And now, you know, well, now my back is, my knee's going out because I'm, and now we have some for the knee. What happened? What do you do with somebody that's been in the system for so long? And they believe they really are broken, and they believe that there's no way out for them.
All right. That's a good question. Thanks for that second clause. When they believe that, I'm not here to help them. If you're good with how things are going, I can't help you. I it's okay. I'm not here to help everybody. If what you're sure you're doing is the best thing that can be done, then you should keep doing it. Of course. Like, really, like, more power to you. If you've reached a point where an upgrade isn't available to you because you're pretty positive that what you're doing is the best way to do it, then please keep doing that. The idea that the conditions perpetuate themselves inside the system, however, it's not hard to see. Everyone kind of knows that things get worse frequently inside of the system. And the fact that the system sometimes create new symptoms that allow you to dig in deeper to the system is also not hard to see. And if we keep going down that direction, that's what we're going to get. So one of the ways to break it is to first acknowledge that it's possible that there's, I keep going back to the same thing, that there's nothing wrong with you. Like, and once you're in the system, however, you know, once you've been damaged long enough and you bought in sort of like the Stockholm syndrome, now I get it. And I'm not here to argue with you. I'm not here to determine whether or not you're doing the right or best thing. That's not up to me. And maybe you're not really right to take on looking at the world from a new paradigm, a new fresh paradigm that allows for freedom and peace and integrity and a solid core.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of examples of individuals that have gone through tremendous challenges. And, you know, I rode San Francisco to San Diego a couple of years ago, Challenge Athlete Foundation. We had 26 athletes that were different areas that they were impacted, you know, no legs, no sight, arms. And, yeah. And listen, those guys and women, they have a thought. You know, their thought is they're perfect the way they are. They're perfect the way they are. So they've switched that identity from, oh, I'm my body, I'm this arm, I'm this lack of arms, to I'm perfect the way I am. And I'm gonna make a difference in the world where I'm coming from. Right?
Yeah.
We can shift it. And I heard what you say. It may not be, but you know, you really help, I think, a lot of people. And in fact, I want to say this too. When I was 1992, when I was going through therapy, I was in this amazing, I had the best psychiatrist ever, probably. I came into his room and office one day, and I said, "Doc, I'm hearing this little voice." He said, "The voice says you got to feel the pain to make the change." I referenced that earlier. What I didn't tell you is that doctor looked at me and he said, "Ken, I can no longer do anything for you. You have to follow that voice." And that is a man that could have kept me in therapy forever, but he was wise. I followed that voice. What was that voice? That was a voice of truth. It was a voice of courage. It was a voice that voice challenged me and challenges me to this day.
Yeah.
That's the voice of awakening consciousness in our world. So we get out of comfort, right? And we go into consciousness. You know, consciousness and comfort sometimes are not the same at all. So
Yeah.
I'm out of time, Nun. I gotta say a couple things here. First of all, Dr. Fred has a couple books out for my audience. I want you to know. We're gonna put one up on the screen. It's called Find Your True Voice, Dr. Fred Moss. Where can they get your book, Fred?
Find Your True Voice can be found at findyourtruevoicebook.com, and I'll get it to your guests, to your listeners for shipping and handling alone.
Wow. Find Your True Voice. Okay. That's awesome. And then your other book that we talked about, Creative Eight, where can they get your Creative Eight book?
Yeah. Creative Eight was a fun book. Creative Eight can be found on Amazon, Healing Through Creativity and Self-Expression. It's a really fun read. It was fun to create. It looks at multiple ways of managing life's discomfort, so you get easy access to that core self so that you can start communicating with others and actually get your voice out into the world.
I love that. And, you know, we put up on the screen earlier, you have a retreat coming up. I want to talk to my audience about that. If you'd please be so kind to tell them a little bit about it.
Yeah. At this point, I have two other practitioners and I have a team that is so completely dedicated to putting on this retreat for people who are out there giving, giving, giving and forgetting to take care of themselves. We're looking for people who take care of lots of people, and now it's time to take care of themselves. And we're going to teach you all sorts, or we're going to open up the space for all sorts of modalities that are available for that process. from the practitioners who are leading to all the participant body, if you have something to give, or if you find yourself being kind of out there so far that you're living in a deficit, this might be something to explore. Take a look at the details on the landing page, which is at welcometohumanityretreat.com. And it's in late September. It's presently scheduled to be in North Carolina. And I'm really looking forward to speaking or helping anybody see whether this is something that meets their needs and wants.
Great. Dr. Fred, are you still taking on individual clients? Are you working with them?
I am. I am a coach. I'm a personal coach and also a group coach. But I love taking on clients. As a doctor, as the undoctor, you can count on me never to diagnose you, never to medicate you, and I keep you away from the medical industrial complex. I do that using unconventional and untraditional means and unconditional love to undiagnose, unmedicate, and then undoctrinate.
Gosh, I love that. Okay, so where if they want to get a hold of you, where would they go?
I think their best place to go is my cool site called drfred360.com. I also do unfortunately troll around on social media, and I therefore can sometimes be found like a little butterfly, or maybe it's like a moth buzzing around Facebook. But of all the social medias that I can at least appreciate, I do like LinkedIn more than most, and that's certainly a place where we can connect as well.
That's great. What came to my mind was an eagle floating around. So
there you go. Thank you. Forget that moth stuff. Exactly.
Anyway, wow, what a great show. All right. Final thoughts for my audience.
Well, we talked about this earlier, and, you know, it really is something that I'd like you all to consider, that even in pain, even in suffering, even in misery, even in confusion, even in feeling like there's no purpose, there might be nothing wrong with you. I really want you to get that. It's not, as Krishnamurti said, it's no sign of mental health to be well-adjusted to a profoundly sick society. And I don't think anybody's going to deny that we live in a profoundly sick society. It's okay not to know how to live. None of us have a recipe book. None of us have an owner's manual. And it's okay to live on knowing that this pain and suffering is essential to your human experience. So welcome to humanity.
Welcome to humanity. I love it. Fred, thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate you doing this show.
Thank you, Ken. It's been great.
Thank you. Till next time, continue to watch this show so that you can see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and be able to do the impossible in your life. Take care.